ladies. This is your Heavenly Father. And I want to encourage you again today. Just as I told you last night, I handcrafted you. I made you special. And I want you to see yourself that way. Because I have a job for you to do. Remember, I told you last night that your suitcase is packed with everything that you need. So as I call you forth to do the work that I've called you to do those things that I have put in your heart to do, that you have wanted to do, but because of fear or insecurities or saying, I can't, I'm not qualified, I didn't come from the right family, I've made mistakes, you have not walked out and done what I've asked you to do. And that's okay. We can start today. Today is a new day. So unzip the suitcase and take out those things that I have put in there for the job that I have called you to do. Because I'm lighting a fire in each one of you to touch your families, to touch the church, to touch every person that you meet. When you're at the grocery store, when you're at the bank, when you're at your business, when you're at Walmart and Target, wherever you are a light. You are a beacon that I want to use to touch this world. And yes, ladies, I want you to step up. And I want you to pray for the president and those that are in authority in our land. Pray for those that are in Washington, D.C. They need me. They need to hear me. They need you to stand up and pray so that my work can be done. I've got people there, but they need you to pray for them that they can boldly do what I've called them to do. It's in their suitcase too, but they've got to unzip it and they've got to do what I've called them to do. And they need you to pray for the boldness because they're fighting the enemy there. And they need you to pray. So know, you are exceptional. Did you put on your crown this morning? Or did you even feel like a princess or a queen this morning? You can be. You're my princess. You're my child. I've anointed you. I've appointed you to go and do what I've called you to do. You are my hands. You are my feet. You are my eyes. You are my hearing. So go do what I've called you to do. Now, from this day forward, I don't want any more excuses saying, I can't. You know, it's not me. No, it's me telling you to go. Now you step out and you go and you do. And you know what? It's going to be glorious. Because as you step out and take one step and then two steps and then three steps, you're going to see what I can do through you. And then you're going to be like Gideon and you're going to know that you can do it. regardless where you come from or what you've done, you'll know that God is with you and you can do it. So I want you to go away from here today knowing that you're exceptional, knowing that you're called, knowing that you're appointed. And forget the past. We can't do anything about the past. So forget it. I don't want you to think about it. I don't want you to bring it up. If somebody brings it up, I want you to tell them you don't want to hear it, because it's hindering you from stepping in to what I've called you to do. So forget the past and press forward to that which I've called you to do. You are women that bloom. Not just a bud, not just a tiny little bloom, but a full-blown flower. And your beauty is going to shine everywhere you go. So I'm saying, listen to what I have to say today. Be encouraged. And go from this place today saying, I will never be the same again. God, I'm going to be that exceptional person that you created me to be. I'm going to lay hands on the sick, and they're going to be healed. I'm going to share the gospel, and people are going to get saved. I'm going to be blessed financially so that I can bless others. I'm going to give whatever you ask me to give. And I know that you're the giver of good gifts, and when I give my good gift, it comes back to me. So, Father, I want to say thank you for your words of encouragement today. That as ladies, we can go forth and do what you've called us to do. And no one and nobody is going to tell us we can't. Those that have told us in the past that we can't, we're going to show them that we can, because we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And you are here to strengthen us. And to encourage us, and to tell us to go forth and do what you've called us to do. So, Father, I'm saying thank you that your presence is here today to heal, to deliver, to set free, to encourage. And I thank you, Father, that you have put your words on my lips this morning. They're not my words, they're your words. And Father, I'm thanking you that they're anointed to minister to the hearts of these ladies. So Father, I'm saying thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to see a mighty move of God in the ladies. And Father, it'll start there. But you know what happens? It trickles down to everybody. We're going to let that anointing flow from us to everybody, in our families, to our husbands, to our kids, to the grandparents, to the aunts and the uncles, to the cousins. It's going to flow to everyone. And I'm thanking you for it, Father. Thank you, Father, that you chose us at this time to do the work that you've called us to do. And Father, we're making the decision that we're not sitting and saying, I can't, I won't, I'm not able any longer. Those are not words in our vocabulary. Our vocabulary is I can, I will, and I am going to do what you've called me to do. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I just want to thank all of you for coming today. You know, I believe God has great things for us. You know, it's just on my heart to encourage the ladies. I mean, that's just, it's been there from the very beginning. It's the anointing that he's placed upon me, the call that he's placed upon me. And so that is my whole intent today. I don't want you to go out of here feeling the same way that than when you came in. Or when you hit one of those days when you feel like, oh, you know, you're bombarded by everything. Have you ever had those days when it seems like nothing else could go wrong? You will stand up and say, no, I can handle this. I can do this. God is my strength, and he'll get me through. And so that's what I want to do. I just want to encourage you today. If we have a little time, and we will have before, after we eat lunch and before the second session starts, these are all the gifts that we'll be giving away. All of the stuff that's up here on the stage, not the flowers, but everything else. If you would like to have the desk or the shelf, if you will tear your ticket in half and put it in whichever one you want in here, we will draw for that. Okay, because not everybody wants a desk or not everybody needs an extra shelf. But if you would like to have that, put your ticket in there and then we'll draw from that. And then that doesn't exclude you from all the gifts because I should have enough gifts for everyone. Okay, so everybody gets a gift today. It's hard for me to say, well, I can only have one or two gifts. I like to give everybody a gift. So Pastor Kathy goes a little bit overboard when it comes to gifts, but that's okay. You know, you're special. You know, that's the way I look at it. All of you are special. And you took time out of your schedule to come and to be a part of this conference. And this conference wouldn't mean anything if you didn't come. But because you chose to come, then we can have it. And I'm believing that God's going to bless you for it, for your time and your talents and your resources that you gave. So I just want to say thank you. So I'm just going to pick up from last night. I just want to remind you, you are exceptional. You have everything you need. So unpack your bags, stir up your faith. Forget about the pity party. Have you ever had a pity party? Oh, woe is me. Nothing's working. God's not listening to me. He didn't answer my prayer. It's been 2 hours. It's been 5 days. It's been 5 years. It's been 20 years, and look where I am. Well, you know what? Did you ever find out nobody wants to come to your pity party? You're the only one there, so it's really not much fun. So let's forget about the pity party and the woe is me, and remember that we're royalty. Remember I talked to you last night about the little kids when they dress all up and how much fun they have? Well, we are God's princesses, or we're the queen. Okay, well, however you want to look at it. You are that. You are a princess. You are a queen. You're not just some mediocre person down here on this earth. No, God created you special, and he gave you talents and abilities that he needs for you to use, to do the work that he's called to do. He's not called you to do the same thing he's called me to do. And I'm not called to do what you're supposed to do. Okay? We each have our part, and what we need, we all need to take our part and put it into the body of Christ. It's just like if each one of us were a piece of the puzzle, if we all put the pieces together, the puzzle's all pretty, you know, we get a full picture. But if we don't have all the pieces, then the picture's not complete. Well, it's the same true with us. If we're not doing our part, there's part in the kingdom that's not getting done. or there's part in your church or in this church that's not getting done because you're not doing your part. Whatever your part is, we need to be doing it. So I wanted you to encourage you to do your part. And you know what? We all have the opportunity to feel like we're not prepared, we're not qualified, we can't do it. We've wanted to say yes, but yet we just don't feel like we can. But you know what? You can. You can do it. Don't say no to an opportunity that God brings your way. Say, I can do it. You know, God, you're going to have to help me. Remember, we got that little acorn that's inside of us that's not the full oak tree yet, but we got to nurture that seed. We've got things on the inside of us that God wants us to nurture and to grow, and so we can become everything that he wants us to be. We can become that big oak tree that he wants us to be. And making excuses just keeps us from growing and experiencing new opportunities. If you're going to accomplish your dreams and reach the fullness of your destiny, we got to push past our excuses, put aside the no, and grab a hold of our yes and take bold steps of faith. Our bag's packed. It's got the things in it that we need. All we got to do is reach in there and take it out. When you go on vacation and you've got your bag all packed and you get to your destination, you don't stand there and go, well, I sure wish I had my clothes. I sure wish I had my toothbrush. It's in your suitcase. Unzip it and take it out. Well, same is true with us. It's on the inside of us. God isn't asking you to do something that he has not equipped you to do. Everything he asks you to do, he's equipped you to do it. But we just need to say, yes, I can do that. And, you know, maybe you might hear us say, you know, we need some teachers in the children's department. You go, well, I can't teach. I can't help. Now, wait a minute. You can. You know something about the Bible. You can teach the kids. I mean, we hand you a lesson plan. You know, you can do it. We hand you the lesson. All you got to do is read through the lesson, study it a little bit. You can do it. You might say, well, I can't give. I don't have anything to give. You've got something that you can give. You might say, well, I can't lay hands on the sick. Now, wait a minute. You can lay hands on the sick. It's not up to you to heal him. That's God's job. All he's asking you to do is lay hands on him. You say, well, what if they don't get healed? Well, what if they do? Let's not say I can't. We need to be I can do people. Because Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He couldn't do it on his own. He had to have God help him. And he recognized that. But he knew he could do it through Christ. He didn't say, I'm doing it on my own. He says, I'm doing it through Christ. So you can break the bad habits. You can have good relationships. You can forgive. You might say, you don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter. We can forgive. I can be successful. I can overcome. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. So we're the branches. And if we stay hooked to the vine, then we're hooked up to the power of God. So we can do it. He's expecting us to do it. He wants us to do it. So with God, we can move past the limited mindsets that are trying to hold us back, and we can walk through the doors of opportunity that God has opened for us. He's trying to open the doors. He's out there ahead of you. He just needs for you to move. So let's let the yes drown out the no that is trying to talk you out of what God has put in your heart. And he's put some pretty big things in your heart. And you're going, I can't do that. But you know what? He's not asking us to do it on our own. He's asking us to trust him to get the job done. He wants to do something in your life that seems impossible. He wants to take you to new levels in your faith so that you can rise higher and go beyond where you are right now. But you have to let go of the insecurities that try to hold you back. He's got an assignment with your name on it, and it's an assignment that he wants you to accomplish for him. He's the God of all possibilities. We've read it in the Bible over and over, things that didn't look, it was impossible that it would happen, but it happened. He has a way to make it happen. So let's know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and we can accomplish those dreams. We can have a strong family. We can have a successful career. We can walk in the blessings of God. But he's waiting on your yes. He's just waiting for you to say, yes, I can do it. God has chosen you, and you are exceptional. So get into agreement with God and be willing to take a risk and step out in faith. And you might say, well, what if I fall? So what? Get back up again and go again. Here's what's happened. We're not moving. We're not doing anything because we're afraid of falling, or we're afraid of making a mistake. But you know what? We need to step out. A lot of these inventors and stuff, they failed many times, but they didn't quit. They just kept on. Well, I'll try it again. I'll try it again. And that's what we need to do. Okay, so we failed. Get up, dust yourself off, and say, okay, I'm ready to go again. I can do this. God, you're on my side. Let's go. I can do it. With you helping me, I can do it. Think about Gideon. God told Gideon to go and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Now, Gideon thought he couldn't do it because he was the least in his father's house and he didn't amount to anything. But God was telling Gideon that he'd chosen him to save his people. So Gideon had to think about it. He had to change his thinking, because Gideon's thinking probably was always, my people, you know, they're not important. We're too weak. I'm the least in my father's house. So he never saw himself doing anything. But now, why did God ask him to do that if God didn't think he could do it? God had put it in Gideon to do what God had asked him to do. All Gideon had to do was agree with what God asked him to do. And when Gideon got in agreement with it, then he did what? You know, he was successful. He won the victory. He didn't let his voice of doubt drown out the voice of God. Now, I understand sometimes when God speaks something to us, it does take us a little bit to have the courage to do it. You know, we got to think about it. You know, Gideon had to process it. Go, okay. All right, yeah, God, I can do that. But he did it. He did what God had asked him to do. He didn't let the voice of doubt, his insecurities, he didn't amount to anything, drown out the voice of God. So shake off whatever's trying to hold you back and let the voice of God come booming through loud and clear. Because all of us have had dreams or goals or something that God has put in our heart. And maybe we started that way And maybe because of time, or maybe because of circumstances or what people said, we quit. It's just like if you make, gonna make chocolate milk, okay? Now you can see this is set a little while, so what happened? The chocolate's all settled to the bottom. So what do we have to do? We gotta stir it up, right? And then pretty soon, we're gonna have our chocolate milk again. Well, the same thing is true in our lives. We've let our dreams, our goals, our aspirations, we've let them fall to the bottom of the glass. For whatever reason. And you know what God's asking you today? He says, get out the God spoon and stir it up. Stir up what he's put in there. Don't let it fall to the bottom of the glass. There's too much inside of you to be sitting in the bottom of that glass. He's got things he wants you to do. People he wants you to reach. People he wants you to touch. Businesses he wants you to touch. You've got it in you. Don't go around thinking you don't have anything to offer. If you've sat in this church, you've got plenty to, you've heard plenty. And I'm sure those of you from other, you've heard things in your church. Now go out, stir up what's in there, and go to work. Touch our world. It's out there. Let's go out and touch them. Touch the businesses where you go. We got one business where we go. And we told her, she says, you know what? We're praying for your business. Because they've, you know, they had the flooding there earlier and a road closure. They've had all kinds of things, you know. And it really looks like in the natural, they may not make it. So we told, you know what? We're praying for you. You're going to make it. You know, they need to hear some encouragement. Not, well, your parking lot is such a mess and got so many holes in it. I told the gal, I said, they could fix your parking lot then. She says, we just don't, you know, we don't have the money to fix the parking lot. So it's up to us. Stir up those gifts that are in there. You know what God can do. God's done things for you. So let's stir them up. Let's be those women that he wants to use and go out and touch our world. And I know all of us has faced tough times. You know, maybe the kids have gone astray. Maybe the finances have tanked. Maybe you've got a doctor's prognosis that's not good. There's all kinds of things that can happen to us. But you know what? We got a God that's more than enough. And so let's stir it up. And let's not let those dreams and those desires and those goals fall to the bottom of the glass. You're full of potential. God has put amazing things in you. You're not lacking. You didn't get shortchanged. God wouldn't be asking you to do something if you didn't already have the ability and the creativity and the things to do it with. So let's step out and do what he's asked us to do. And we got to stay in faith because it doesn't happen right away. Many of you have been believing God for a long time for things. Do you think not in the 20 years that New Beginnings Faith Church has been here that this is where we still want it to be? You know, we want it packed out. We want it full, overflowing in every service. But you know what? We're not quitting. We're not letting the goal or the desire fall to the bottom of the glass because you guys are too special. You've helped us along the way. So we're going to I'm going to get right out here with you. But do you understand? because of time, and it doesn't look like it. It doesn't feel like it. And so we let go of it. I've let go of dreams and goals because it's been too long. It's too hard. It's not happening. But where am I focusing on? What am I focusing on? I'm not focusing on God. I'm focusing on the circumstances and what it looks like. So even when you feel like nothing's working out and things are taking so much longer than you expected, God has the right people lined up for you. He's reaching out to people that you don't know anything about. And they're already working. You know, God's out there working, and we can't see it. And because we can't see it, we think nothing's happening. But you know, he's out there. He hasn't forgotten you. Because remember, you're one of his kids. Think about it, you mothers that have kids. You haven't forgot about your kids. You're going to continue to do for them what they want and what you can do, but sometimes it takes a little while. Sometimes you want to give them something, but maybe you don't have the finances or the resources or to do it right now. But you will, and you will do it for them. They just have to be patient. And so we have to be the same way. We have to be patient. God is wanting you to pick up those dreams and pick up those goals and pick up those ideas that you had and go for it. Okay? They're not done for. We just need to pick them up and get them on the right road again. Okay? A destiny moment is right around the corner. At the right time, you're going to see divine connections. People will want to be good to you. You may not know the right people, but God does. He's directing your steps and the people you need. So stay in faith. Believe that he's working behind the scenes and he'll open the right doors at the right time to get you where you need to be. So when you speak your amen, you stay in agreement with God and keep your faith alive. Just like Noah or God asking Noah to build the ark. People thought Noah was crazy. And every step of the way, people discounted him. But Noah kept working on what God had instructed him to do. Think about it. Every day he went out there and worked on that boat. People laughed at him. People made fun of him. And I think about, you know, when we hear it's going to flood, we understand a flood. But back then, they hadn't had any. Rain didn't come from heaven. It came from the bottom up. So he really didn't know what a flood was. He just knew he was supposed to build this boat and get the people, his family, and the animals in it. And it didn't matter to him. He'd heard God, and he continued on for 120 years or however long it was. Now, there came a day when those people that were making fun of him wished they'd paid attention to him. But Noah kept building. He stayed in agreement with God. And there's always going to be opportunities and reasons to give up. Time passes and we wonder, is it really you, God? You know, is your delay your denial, or should I let go and give up? People criticize you. They don't understand what God's spoken to you. You know, God can ask you to do some things that people think you're absolutely crazy. I remember when we packed up and left for Peoria, we didn't have a job. We had no place to live. I mean, we packed up a U-Haul with everything we had and headed to Peoria. People thought we were crazy. Well, you know, in the natural, it does look like kind of crazy. But when God tells you to do something, you can do it, knowing that he will lead you and guide you every step of the way. So let's turn to Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. Because this is a scripture that I turn to frequently when I'm having to endure, when it seems like it's been a long time, when it seems like God's not answering. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 says, "So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patience Endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. So as you continue to do what He has promised and stand in faith, even when it doesn't look like it, even when everything says it's not going to happen, He says you will receive what has promised. So we have to hold fast to our profession of faith. That means hold tight to your yes and stay in agreement with God. Okay? Hold fast to it. Hang on to it. If you've got to wrap the rope around your hand another time or two so that you can hang on, do it. Whatever it takes for you to hang on, don't let go. Many times, you know, we're believing God for things and it's taken so long that finally we decide, well, you know what? I guess it's not going to happen. And we let go of it. And I always say, what if it would have happened tomorrow? And you gave up one day too soon? I think about that a lot. Maybe you're believing God for healing or you're believing God for finances and it doesn't look like it's coming in and you go, well, I guess God just didn't hear me. But the promise was the next day and you gave up. You know, maybe you've been believing God for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and on the 20th year, the very first day, you decided this is it. 20 years is enough and you gave up. And the next day was the day God wanted to give it to you. He had it all in line. So let's not give up. Let's hang on to what He's promised. Okay? The next thing is we need to lift up our eyes. We need to set our eyes on the promises. I heard this story about this gentleman, and he was feeling down and so discouraged, so he went to his pastor, and he says, I feel like my life is a wreck. You know, nothing's working out right. God's not answering me. There's disappointments all around me. I don't understand what's happening. I don't have anything good going on in my life. So the pastor takes out a sheet of paper, and he draws a line down the middle of it. And on this side, he puts challenges, problems, and disappointments. And on this side, he puts the good things in your life. And so he's writing this down, and so the pastor says, you know, let's take a moment. Let's take an inventory of your life as it stands. And the man drops his head and he says, oh, you know what? I'm not going to have anything to put on the good things in my life. There's just nothing going right in my life. And the pastor goes, yeah, you know, I understand and I get it. But let's go ahead and make our list. He says, oh, by the way, I'm wanting to say I'm sorry to hear your wife passed away. The guy goes, my wife passed away. She's alive and healthy. And the pastor smiled and he goes, so on the good things, he goes, wife is alive and healthy. So as he's writing that down, he goes, And by the way, it's a shame that your house burnt down. And the guy says, what do you mean my house burnt down? My house didn't burn down. Where are you getting all this stuff? The pastor just sits there. Pretty soon the guy, he gets it. He was looking at the wrong things. He had things to be thankful for. His wife was alive and healthy. He had a house to live in. But he was looking at all the other things that were going wrong. And how many of us have done that? I've done that. I've looked at everything that's going wrong. But I don't stop and think about what has God done right. He's done all of these things for me, and yet I'm looking at the things that He's done that's going wrong. And you know, those things that are going wrong always seem to be magnified, bigger and bigger than what maybe they really are. What we choose to focus on is going to make a difference in our lives. You know, if we choose to focus on the bad all the time, then where are we going to be? We're going to be feeling bad. God's not with me. Nothing's happening. You know, woe is me. It's just like looking at a glass. Is it half full or half empty? Well, how are you looking at it? There's the same amount of water in the glass, no matter what your answer is. But it's how you choose to look at it. Are you choosing to see the glass half full, or are you choosing to see it half empty? So how are you viewing your life today? Are you looking at everything that's going wrong? Or are you looking at what's going right? There are things that are going right. You know, all of us, no matter what's going on in our lives, we can probably look and see somebody that their life is worse off than ours. So we need to be thankful. What do we have to be thankful for? We got a house to live in. I don't think any of us are living on the street. We have food to eat, or at least some food to eat. We have cars to drive. We're not having to walk. We're not having to drive a horse and buggy. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can be thankful for. But we are focusing on what's wrong or what we don't have. And you know what it does? It just gets you down and discouraged. You got to pay attention to what you're thinking. And I've got to be careful of that too. I've got things that have happened that I will try to rehearse them. And it doesn't help. I need to forget it because it just pulls me down. I've got to go, nope, I'm not thinking about that. I don't care what they did. I don't care what they said. That's past. I'm going to leave it in the past. And I know there's people that have done some terrible things to you and said some awful things to you, lied about you, hurt you. But we can't dwell on that. We've got to let it go and say, you know what? That's in the past. I'm moving forward. Because it's not helping me. It doesn't help for me to dwell on what somebody did or what somebody didn't do, or the boss cheated me, or the boss hasn't paid me, or somebody didn't pay you. But you can't think about that. One day I was thinking about it, not getting paid. I was thinking about, man, I could sure use that money, you know? You keep dwelling on it and dwelling on it. Pretty soon I go, you know what? This isn't helping me any. And then God spoke to me and he says, you know what? Maybe you didn't get paid, but you know, your bills are all paid. You got food on the table. You got a house to live in. You've always made your house payment. You've always made your utilities. Be thankful. I go, you're right. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. Maybe you haven't got a pay raise for a while, but I can tell you, God can meet the need. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know he does it. So let's quit dwelling on what we haven't got or how somebody hurt us, and let's move on. To be exceptional means you're intentional with your attitude. You're saying, you know what? I'm going to look at what's right in my life. I'm going to be grateful for what I have. I'm going to look at God's goodness. I'm going to set my eyes on his promises. And your thoughts are going to shift from defeat to victory. Okay? We got to quit feeling down and discouraged. And when we feel that way, we need to look at ourselves and go, what have I been thinking about? What have I been focusing on? Where have my eyes been? What has my attitude been? And usually you'll find out it's not been thinking the right things. It's probably been stinking thinking. You know? We need to change that. We've heard it said that an attitude determines your altitude, and it means our attitudes have a direct correlation with the level of success in our lives. You know, we can't always control our circumstances. Things are going to happen. But we can control our attitude throughout the circumstance. And when you take charge of your thoughts and your attitude, your life is going to go to new levels. So empower your life with positive thoughts of faith. Think about Joshua and Caleb. The Israelites had recently left Egypt under the leadership of Moses, and they were living in bondage under Pharaoh. And God had delivered them with a promise of restoring Israel to the land of Canaan. And so it was going to be the promised land, and it flowed with an abundance of provision. So Moses sent 12 spies, including Joshua and Caleb, to spy out the land of Canaan and find out what was there before the Israelites entered the land. So he instructed them to bring back some fruit from the land for everyone to see. So the 12 spies went to Canaan. They were there for 40 days. They returned, and they had this huge cluster of grapes and amazing pomegranates and figs. Well, everyone marveled over the bounty. So they realized the land had to be rich in produce, and it flowed with abundance. But that rejoicing didn't last long. Why? Because of the 10 spies that decided to let the people know there's giants in the land. We're not able to conquer those people. They're bigger than we are. There's walls around the cities. In fact, we're like grasshoppers in our own sights, and so we are in their sight. But Joshua and Caleb, hearing the negative report, spoke up and saying, hey, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us. Because Joshua and Caleb saw that the land was good. They saw the fortified cities. They saw the big men. But they chose not to focus on that. They chose to focus on the size of their God. They saw how the Lord was with them, protecting them and enabling them to go through the land for 40 days unharmed. They remembered what God had done. He'd parted their sea as they were leaving Egypt. He drowned the enemies. So they believed that what God had promised, God would give them. But the 10 spies, they chose to see the glass half empty. Where the 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb, they saw it half full. So this negative attitude that the 10 spies had, it spread throughout the whole tribe. So you know what? Your negative attitude has an impact on those around you. So that's why it's important that you keep a positive attitude. Joshua and Caleb, they didn't let their faith waver. Now the other guys, they grumbled and complained, and all the other people grumbled and complained, and what happened? They didn't get to go to the promised land. They spent the rest of the time in the wilderness. They were there for 40 years. Just because they didn't see and get a hold of what God had said and that God would be with them. But Joshua and Caleb, their faith never wavered, and they made it to the promised land. They had a different spirit. Don't you want people to say there's something about you, you got a different spirit? Well, what is that different spirit? It's the Jesus that lives on the inside of you. It's the power of God that is in you. When you have the right attitude, you can look at your situation, no matter how challenging it may seem, and make it through by choosing to set your eyes and promises on God. When you choose to see through your eyes of faith and not fear, you're going to come out of the wilderness moments stronger and more determined than you were before. You know, all of these things that we go through, even though they're difficult going through them, we're learning and we're growing. And we're becoming stronger because of it. You know, if we never had to face anything, we would be weak, sick, yuck. But because we face things, that makes us stronger. And we know that we can go about and accomplish what God has called us to do. When you choose to serve the Lord, you quiet the discouraging voices that try to come against you by looking through your eyes of faith and not fear. Remember, he has already disarmed the power of the enemy. So don't focus on the giants. Don't focus on the disappointments. Don't focus on the problems. Don't focus on your circumstance, but focus on the promises of God that guarantee victory. We can't control our environment. We can't control some of our circumstances, but we can control our thoughts and attitudes. And when we put on that winning attitude, it will shift the way we approach the most challenging situations. So every day we need to wake up believing that God has clothed us with his power and that his mercy and goodness follow us all the days of our life. And then you will have the courage and the boldness to move forward in faith as a victor and not a victim. Too many times people have gone through things and they come out with a victim mentality. And we need to come out with a victor's. We need to have a victor's mentality. You know, God's for me. I don't know why this happened. It doesn't look like anything as good's going to come out of it. But God is going to get us through and bring us to the other side, victorious. Okay? I just want to see you as a victor, not a victim. Many times, and it happens so much in the ladies, if something has happened to them, they look at it as they're a victim. And you can't get them out of that victim attitude or mentality. And it doesn't matter what happened. And I know that there's been ladies that have faced some terrible things. But you know what? God can still get you through it. And we just have to let go of it so that we can move on to what God has for us. Don't stay where you are. You know, there's too much for you to do, too many things that God wants to do in your life. Don't stay where you are. Okay? It's just important that we change our mentality. We talk to ourselves. We encourage ourselves. Tell ourselves what we can do. Tell ourselves that we are more than a conqueror. Don't let the voices of people and the enemy keep you from doing what God has called you to do. And I know it's easy. And sometimes I think, you know, God created women to be helpmeet. So he created them to mold to their husband or mold to circumstances. So our feelings are a little different than the men's feelings. You know, something can happen to them and they can just shrug it off and go on. But not with us ladies. We tend to hang on to things, okay? And he made us to mold, but yet sometimes some of those characteristics we have can hinder us. So I just want to encourage you, we have to let go of some of those things that have been said and been done. And maybe you've worked in a workplace where the women were put down. Or whatever your circumstances might be, know that God is on your side and he sees you as a child of God. And he sees you important. He sees you exceptional. He's got something for you to do. So pick up yourself and say, you know what? I'm not listening to those voices. When he says you can't do it, you're not worth anything, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too tall, whatever he uses, you know, he uses all kinds of things against us. And he just sits right here and he just keeps whispering in your ear, you know? And that's when you have to take authority over it and say, that's it. No more. I'm not listening to that any longer. Because you're important. You're special. You're not just nobody. You're just not an average person around here. Okay? You're exceptional. You're extraordinary. He's got something that he needs for you to do. Okay? So I just want to encourage you. Let's not be letting him run rampant through our minds, because that's what's happening. And we need to shut the door and say, that's enough. I'm not listening to that anymore. Maybe you've listened to it for 10 years or 20 years or 30 years or however long, but say, that's it. And when the thought comes, go, no, I'm not thinking that. God's got something else for me. I'm a child of God. I'm important. And so let's go for it. He's got a job for us to do. I don't think you realize he's got a job for you to do. And he needs you to be out there and doing what he's called you to do. And we got everything we need. We can do it. We just need to step up and do it. Okay? You can do it. All right? So I'm going to take about a 10-minute break here. Okay? You can go get a, if you want to go in the other room and get a drink or go to the restroom. I'm going to let you stretch your legs, and then we'll come back for about half an hour or something like that, just to kind of finish up some things here. But I just want you to really be encouraged, okay? Because this discouragement that's, and I was just saw the headlines in the paper, but they're talking about, I don't know whether it was the millennial or the X generation or one of these generations, they're talking about how, I don't think they used disappointment. I can't remember what the word was they used. You're shaking your head, Diane. Did you see that? It isn't disappointment. It's something, yeah. So you know what? We don't want to be in that. We don't want our kids in that. We want to instruct them how to live in this life and do what God has called them to do, okay? So that's what I'm endeavoring to do, is encourage you to step up and take your place, okay? So I'm going to give you about a 10-minute break. So if you want to stand up and stretch,